From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. So much coming up as we kind of turn the corner of summer, heading for fall, and a lot happening in the month of September. Jennifer Campbell joins us to tell us all about it. Jennifer, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing fine. Doing fine. We're just masking up and surviving this pandemic that does not seem to want to go away.
It does not. It is like a house guest that has overstayed its welcome.
Yes.
but we are muddling through.
And, yes, we are muddling. That's a good word, muddling.
I mean, you know, it fits so many different things. Yes, we do have lots of things that we're planning for in September, and yes, we are still planning them. They're still a go at this point. So,
well, that's my question, because you know it's interesting that we've gone through a lot of cancellations last year, mm-hmm. and then it was sort of, well, they're tentative this year, and then they become pretty much solid as the coronavirus seem to wane. I mean, some hospitals actually closed down their COVID wards because they didn't have any patients.
Yes, and yeah, that was true. Yeah,
and so we were just like, oh, it's full bore. And I did attend the vocations dinner on the 31st of July at St. Mary Parish here in Sacramento, and just a wonderful crowd and a wonderful night. And both Bishop Soto and Bishop Wiegand were there, and they both spoke, which was such a treat. And it was just a wonderful evening seeing all the seminarians. And it was canceled last year. This year it was full bore, and everybody had a great time.
Yeah, I mean, last year we were just, like, learning about COVID,
right.
And so we were making decisions, you know, quickly and trying to do with the information we had at the time. And now we're, you know, a year into it, we're making decisions based on the best information we have now.
I know. And it's,
which
it's,
is
and
different.
Unfortunately, it's nobody's fault, but the information frequently changes by the hour. Nobody had heard of the Delta variant, and now it's virtually every case is the Delta variant. 99%, I heard today, are in the United States are Delta variant, and we didn't have that term breakthrough case, last year at this time, because we didn't have vaccinations last year at this time. So it's a whole different ball game this time, and yet it's really tough on event planners. I mean, it's tough on a lot of people, and that's, you know, it's kind of the least of our worries. But we are in the business we're in the business of letting people know the good news of Jesus Christ, and that news hasn't changed.
That news hasn't changed, right? And you know, we have to just roll with the punches, as my dad used to say. And so, you know, we just have to go with it and just, you know, do our best to keep everyone safe and let everyone make the best decisions for them and their families. And so in doing our events, you know, most of them, we are, you know, blessed to be in Northern California, where the weather is pretty mild most mm-hmm. of the time. So we're able to do, you know, quickly switch some of our events to outdoor, and to make that work. So, I mean, we are still moving ahead. I mean, I guess the first event, which I'm excited about, is I'm going to get to go to family camp this year.
Yeah, and that's right around the corner, Labor Day weekend.
Labor Day weekend, so we're going to get to do family camp, you know, because Camp Panola is completely outdoors. our cabins are even open-air cabins. So, you know, those kind of things we're still going to get to do. We still have cabins available for families. I mean, it's just going to be a little different than it's been in the past, asking families to stay kind of in their pods.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's still going to be the same experience or a similar experience, and you still have that opportunity to unplug with your family. Father Chris Frazier is going to be coming up for Mass, so we're still going to be able to have Mass and all of that kind of that kind of great stuff.
Well, you know, people that have been a little hesitant maybe on vacations and worried about maybe staying in a hotel or flying, or you can't fly into Camp Pendola. The runway is not big enough.
The runway no longer exists, but there is a story there, which I will tell you on another next time I call.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes, there is a story of flying into Camp Pendola. Completely done safely.
Something other than a crow flying into Camp Pendola?
Yeah.
I want to hear that story.
I will next time. Next time. Right. We have a lot of things in September to get to.
Yes. Family camp is definitely going to happen. So I was going to say that family camp is the ideal thing. If you've been,
exactly.
it's open air. You're with your family members. You're out of the city. It's not a hotel. It's really beautiful up there.
And it's really beautiful up there, and it's just a great opportunity for families to kind of unplug together. And you know, there's no opportunity for a Zoom call while you're at the camp, and it'll be just a great weekend. And then after that, we have On Fire, which is such a great experience for youth and young adults. So it's for high school teens and then young adults in their 20s. And it's a day at Six Flags. So again, outside, there is not even an indoor facility at Six Flags. So that's actually really great. Only one year it wasn't great was the year that it rained. But we still were there, and we closed the park, so it was good. But, you know, it's an outdoor venue, so we're going to have mass with the bishops. We have great speakers and musicians coming from the Epic. The band is going to be there to be our worship band for both adoration in the evening and for mass in the morning. Sister Josephine Derrett, who I just cannot wait to get to spend a day with her and talk to her. She has an interesting vocation story and just such a light in the world, which can sometimes be dark. And she's so wonderful. So she'll be our keynote. Father Radmar, who's going to be, he's a Jesuit, and he is actually the vocations director for the West Coast Regional Jesuit, I forget what it's called exactly, but he does the vocations things right. for them. And, you know, Bishop Soto is going to be there, so it's always a good day when you get to hang out in the amusement park with Bishop Soto. So, mm-hmm. And a free, not free, but an all-you-can-eat lunch that's there, which,
it's part of the price of getting in.
Yeah, it's part of the price of getting in, but right. you're not having to, like, wait in another line and you know, however, amusement parks do it. It's never cheap, so.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting, I think. And we'll just have a fun day. And then Joe Melendrez, of course, is going to be our MC throughout the day, just hyping everyone up and getting everyone excited. He usually does some kind of, like, jazzercise gymnastics kind of thing. Jazzercise, for those of us that are a little older, we'll know what that is. So it's always that's a really fun day, and we haven't really had opportunities to gather together in our youth ministries, and so this is a way for these young people to really gather, not in a school setting, not on Zoom, but in person, talking to each other. You know, the park is we'll have to follow the COVID protocols based on the park, which they could change, you know, between now and September 18th.
But it's outdoors as well.
But it is outdoors. I mean, so it is an outdoor venue. So all of those tickets are on sale right now. You just go to onfirenorcal.com, and then you can click on the ticket link, buy your tickets. If you have a group that's going, buy those tickets together, because there is a fee, like an online processing fee. So if you buy one ticket, it's the same price. That fee is still the same as if you buy 50 tickets.
Good advice.
If you're buying in a group, buy them in a group. But it's at onfirenorcal.com. Check out that website and come spend the day with us. It'll be fun.
That's great. Well, Sister, I would pay good money just to hear her talk.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. She's gonna be great. And it's just, we did a virtual introduce the speakers night. And my favorite part was we were all just super, as she described it, she goes, "You guys are all fired up and on fire over here." And it was very late for her because she's at Eastern Texas. Mm-hmm. And she was like, I promise y'all, I will be on fire at the event. I'm just a little tired right now. And so I know that if she said that on that call, she's definitely going to be.
So, explain the process. I mean, you got this all-star lineup. If this was a baseball game, it would be the all-star game.
Yeah.
You know, what's the process for finding speakers? Like, I mean, it's somebody like Joe Melendrez, we've known about for a while, but how did you find Sister? How did you find Father? How did you find these people?
So, well, I guess I'll just go in order. So, Sister Josephine, she actually did a. They're like TED Talks, but that's not what they're called, and they're done by Ave Maria Press.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think it's called Ave Maria Presents, but I could be wrong. And so I just saw one, and it was her, and I was like, I just want to meet this person. She's the voice that I wanted our young people to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And then I passed that video around to everyone in my office, and we all were like, yes, it'll be great.
Had you heard of her?
Her name was familiar to me, but I had never heard her speak before, mm-hmm. like at a conference or anything. I'd just seen the video and thought, oh, she's gonna be great. And she speaks at Steubenville. She speaks at conferences across
mm-hmm.
the country.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then with Father Radmar, he was the celebrant at the Young Adult Mass at LA Congress a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex Barraza had heard him and thought he was great, and we just asked him. Because even he was like, how did you hear about me? And I was like, you were at LA Congress. We thought you'd be great. So,
yeah.
And that's really how we find people is, you know, word of mouth from other, you know, youth young adult ministry directors. Myself and Anthony Tao went down and volunteered at City of Saints, which is just a half-day event. That was done by the LA Archdiocese. It's usually a weekend, but this year they just did like a half-day event at the cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got to hear speakers there and talking to the other diocesan directors. So we were talking with the youth ministry team from the LA Archdiocese and just asking them, like, who are the good speakers you've heard recently? And, you know, and they ask us the same questions. So a lot of it is just, you know, talking to other people who are passionate about youth ministry and who also... you know, hear a lot of speakers, and so we just kind of share the names around.
So, were they able to have the LA Congress this year?
They did a virtual LA Congress this
year.
Because
that's a big deal.
It was, and it was still, they had a good turnout, is from what I understand, and they still did a youth day. They just did a little differently. And then this event that they just did, which was at the cathedral in LA. So, yeah, they're starting to pick up things, too, and you know, you just roll with it, and you make things happen for young people because they deserve it. So it's just important that, you know, you just, we're going to wear a mask, and that's what we're going to do, and we're still going to, like, share the good news with these kids and bring them some joy.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, I have four teenagers, and well, one just turned 20, so I have three teenagers and a 20-year-old. Just a couple of weeks ago, but they're in that stage of life where they're going through rites of passage, you know, and for my wife and I, it's just, you know, I mean, we're part of that, but we've already done all that. And it's just, it's so we'll forget the pandemic long before our kids will, because, you know, they missed their high school graduation. They missed being on the football team or the volleyball team, or they missed debate. They missed, you know, all these very, or we were, my daughter was in a choir and they were going to go to Belgium, for heaven's sakes, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they'll remember that this thing, whereas I just remember, you know, well, gee, they closed the pool one day, you know.
Yeah.
But for people of a certain age, probably 15 to 25 in that range, there are a lot of things that just didn't happen for them or happened virtually, and people doing their best to make it normal for them.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all we can do is just try our best and keep trying and, you know, see what works. And but I think, you know, we've learned a lot in the last 18 months, my goodness, it's been that long. Of, you know, what we can do. I mean, I ran 4 weeks of a day camp, and, you know, we wore masks inside, and and we didn't outside, and, you know, we learned to roll with it, and the kids were, they just wanted to be able to be together, so, you know, we made it work.
So you did day camp really for the first time in terms of doing a week at this parish and a week at that parish and really moving it around.
Yeah.
As you sit down and look back at it, is this something you learned something that, oh, this works pretty good, or is that going to be a sort of a one-off because of COVID and we're going to go back to other things?
You know, jury's still out on that. We did learn a lot about it, and knowing that it is a possibility. But I think, you know, it's just going to be the capacity that I have to be able to do all these things and my staff team. You know, during most of the school year, I'm a team of one, and then I get a bunch of helpers in the summer. So it'll kind of depend upon that. I think that there were some great lessons that we learned in doing this, that it is one, that it is possible. And there were most of the people who attended day camp had never attended, you know, the overnight camp, and probably half had never even heard of it before.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was a really great way for them to kind of get an idea of what camp could be like, and then also get them comfortable with the idea of, you know, like, these are the people who work at camp, and these are, this is the stuff you do, and like helping the kids make camp friends, you know, mm-hmm, friends that they don't go to school with, but they'll see every summer. I think that also helps. So, I mean, we're still deciding what for next summer, but those decisions will be made in the next month or so.
Very good. But it was a good experience.
It was
for all those kids.
Yeah. I mean, aside from apparently July was the hottest month on record in like decades.
In the whole world. Yeah, exactly. And specifically in our area.
Yeah, it was pretty hot. But aside from the heat, which again, California, you have to take the good with the bad, right?
That's right.
Aside from the heat, it was a really great experience. We, you know, this is something we can offer. And that's, you know, like with On Fire and with Family Camp, these are things that we can offer. We can make them work and keep people involved and understanding what's going on, you know, in their world and helping them see their friends and helping them, you know, find this Christian community that they so deserve and desire.
Exactly. Did you have any camper, because they were at four distinct sites, quite a ways, but did you have any camper that made more than one?
We did. We had a set of brothers.
Wow.
So they came to the first week of camp, and my staff, we liked all of the kids. These two boys were just hilarious.
Yeah.
One of them, he was in a group, it was all girls and him. And, you know, so, and they had such a great experience. They begged their mom to let them come to another week. And so the only week that worked in their schedules was the week at Holy Trinity. So they went from they live near Holy Family in Citrus Heights.
Uh-huh.
And they came up every day for that last week of camp.
So it wasn't a real long, it wasn't like they went up to Anderson.
Oh, goodness, no.
That's dedication.
That is dedication, and that's just, I mean, they had such a good time. They really loved it, and the last week, the first week, the younger of the two boys, he really struggled with making bead buddies, mm-hmm, which is like a craft that we do a lot at camp. The kids love it. They make geckos and whatever. During Christmas, they make Christmas trees. The Christmas July week, we all, you know, they're all fun. The kids love them, and he really struggled with it because, you know, you have to get the rhythm of how to make them, and once you do, it's easy. But he just was struggling. And the last week, on the, like, second to last day, he's like, fine. He said it to me and his counselor. He's like, fine, I'll do it. I'll try again. And we're like, okay, good, buddy. You can do this. And sure enough, he made his lizard. And it was like, we felt like we were so proud of him. And it's something so silly, but it was like such a monumental experience for him to, like, do it and not give up, right?
Oh, that's great. That's really great. And it's a, you know, a pat on the back to you guys that obviously it was so good at Holy Family that people wanted to go to Holy Trinity.
They did. The kids really enjoyed it. I I mean, that was my experiences, and that's what I've heard from, you know, from the kids and from families, that they really enjoyed the experience. So I think that that's something we, you know, we're moving forward into the next summer, we'll think about.
And, you know, you of course, direct Camp Pendola. You know how to buy locate, right?
Well, no, not yet.
Not yet.
Working on it. But we'll figure it out. I mean, we'll make it all work. So, I'm still not done with September, Bob.
That's right.
There's still one more thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're not through September. That's right.
Yeah.
We've got ministry days coming up.
That's right. The week after On Fire. So we do a big gathering and kickoff for youth. And then the next week, we do a big gathering and formation event and networking event for our adults who serve those youth and younger, and the rest of the school in the parish, too. So, yeah, Ministry Day is that last weekend in September. I think it's the last weekend now that I've said that out loud. I might
24th and 5th.
24th and 5th.
That's the final Friday and Saturday of September, because September only has 30 days.
Thank you.
30 days hath September. I can't remember the rest of it. But
that's only in November.
Yeah, but it starts with September, so that's all you have to remember.
April, June, and November, yeah. So we have ministry days coming up. We have our great keynote speaker, Catherine Anguillo. We are finalizing our workshop list, but this year when people register, you don't need to pick your workshops ahead of time. You'll pick them the day of. But you can go online. That'll be up. It's coming up soon. As speakers get approved, we're adding them to the website so that we can have all of those workshops up there. But we will have workshops for people who work with confirmation kids or for First Eucharist and First Communion, workshops for people who work in prison ministry. I'm really excited about the speaker we have who's going to be talking about who works in prison ministry and working with restorative justice and restorative justice circles, which is, I don't know if you've heard of those terms before, but the restorative justice circles, like, it's something that is great to use in a school setting, in mm-hmm. a faith formation setting. It's not just a prison ministry setting. So excited about that. And then, you know, all of the other ministries that operate in a parish, the liturgical ministries, you know, music ministers, we've got all of those, trying to get all of those different covered, other social concerns ministries. And then we have vendors coming, you know, all the different publishers will be there, as well as some of the, like, in the past, the Catholic store has been there. I can't remember if they're coming this year. I think maybe. But we'll have different vendors, people to walk around and check out the vendors during the day. Lunch is provided with the cost of your admission. And we'll have Mass with Bishop Soto both days as well.
And talk about the workshops a little bit in terms of how that works logistically for attendees.
Yeah, so when you arrive, you'll get a booklet that has a list of all of the workshops that are being offered. The workshop times are in the afternoon. They're both they're after lunch. And so you go to the keynote in the morning and then Mass. And then in the afternoon, you'll get to pick your two workshops. So how it works is the workshops, you just go to the room that you would like, that has the workshop you would like. And if there is available seating, you can go to that workshop. If not, you'll want to have a second choice. So we are suggesting to everyone to have two choices for each round, so that if the first one is full, they can move on to the second one. And some of our workshops are going to be in really large rooms, and some of them are in, you know, regular classrooms at St. Francis. Those ones that are in larger rooms have more opportunity for people to go. Some of the larger rooms hold up to 100 people. Some of the smaller rooms, you know, hold between about 30. Mm-hmm. So there's generally room for everybody in their workshop that they choose.
And how many can they attend?
They'll attend there's two rounds of workshops.
Uh-huh.
So there's the keynote and then two rounds of, like, selection workshops.
Mm-hmm. And people can come Friday and Saturday, but Friday is primarily Catholic school teachers?
Correct. People are more than welcome to come both days. We have different speakers both days. The keynote is the same person, but the workshops will be a little bit different, or her keynotes will be a little bit different. But the workshops are, I do not think there are any repeating workshops. They're all standalones. I mean, I'm doing a workshop each day, so... Well, those and mine are very different each day. So
now I interviewed the keynote, and of course she's from Notre Dame.
Yeah,
and she told me she's a huge Notre Dame football fan, and I promised her. I think I went a little out of school here, but I promised her that they would set up a little TV so she could make sure she could watch Notre Dame's playing Wisconsin that day. And that she could kind of out of one eye, you know, be glancing at the TV while she was doing her keynote. So I hope that doesn't disrupt anything.
I mean, I hope it doesn't.
And plus, everybody there will get to know the score.
Yes.
And it's a Catholic event. Half the people at least will want to know the score of the Notre Dame game.
Yes. Growing up, the priest at our parish was a very big supporter of Notre Dame, so he always knew the scores and would tell them to you. And sometimes be like, "Mass is going to go a little quick today. The game's going to start."
See,
he would never do that.
Our parish priest, same thing growing up, and you know, we would learn how to go to catechism to confession on catechism class, which is on Saturday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sure I'd go into the confessional, and he'd ask me what the score was because he knew I had a little transistor radio.
Well, I mean, you got to do what you got to do.
You got to do what you got to do. You know?
It's easier now to know the scores really quick now because everyone's got a smartphone.
But oh, man.
Back in the day.
It's terrible. Yeah. Sometimes I record the game because I can't see it live and because I'm doing something. And then you spend the rest of the day until you can watch it trying to avoid hearing what the final score was.
True story.
And everybody knows the final score, and they know you're a Notre Dame fan. Hey, did you see how the, you know, you're like, oh, I don't want to know.
I can't know yet. Please don't tell
Please
me.
Don't
yeah,
tell
no,
me.
That's definitely true. So I didn't know there was a game that day, but now that I do.
Yeah, Saturday's in the fall.
Yeah, I mean.
You can go to the bank with it.
That's true. I should have known.
But anyway, she... I promised her that, and so.
So you promised her, but
I promised her, but you have to deliver.
Okay, I see how this works, Bob.
It was so refreshing. It was almost like the first thing she wanted to talk about. You know, but
well,
she's really, and she's going to do the keynote in both English and Spanish.
Yes, she is. She's doing the keynote in both English and Spanish.
I think, is that a first for ministry days?
I think that it is, actually. I mean, I've been helping coordinate for 10 years almost now. So,
I mean, there's certainly a lot of people that are capable of doing that. But
I do think this is the first time that we've asked this to be the same speaker for both. I was really excited about the idea of the same person with the same message to all of the people in our community. So that's part of the reason that I really pushed for it.
Beyond obviously being brilliant and very faith-filled and et cetera, she's just a lot of fun. You'll have some happy campers, that's for sure.
I definitely think so. I think she's great, and I think her presentation will be interesting and entertaining, which is what you really want in a keynote speaker, right?
Right.
I think that's all. You want to be able to get the information, and you want it to be in a way that you remember, and we remember more when we're laughing
That's true.
So I think that's important to remember.
So sign up at ministrydays.com. And
yes,
it is at St. Francis Catholic High School, our great Catholic high school.
Out
near Sacramento State.
Yep. Very close to Sacramento State.
All you have to do is go tunnel under the railroad tracks, and there you are.
There's a tunnel already built for you, so you just can walk.
Yeah, you just walk right there. Yeah.
Yes.
Jennifer, anything we missed?
I don't think so. I mean, that sounds very busy to me.
It does sound very busy. And This is my pet thing. The one weekend we didn't mention about all this, September the 12th, Sunday, mm-hmm. the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home Dinner, which is not, it's a Catholic group, and of course,
yes.
but it's the diocese helps sponsor it, but it's not sort of on that official list. They're their own organization, and that's their annual dinner on September the 12th at Armand's Palace in Elk Grove. They've had to move it in the last couple of years because they've just outgrew their venue, which was a wonderful thing.
That is a wonderful thing. No, that's exciting. I did not have that on my calendar, but now I will add it to my calendar to tell people. But also, that's my one weekend off in September. So I might be sleeping.
That event happens to fall on my birthday, so.
Wow.
But I'll be there.
It's
the kind of guy I am.
That you, yes, it is.
See, we don't celebrate my birthday anymore. It's forbidden.
It's forbidden? Oh, goodness.
Dad did not have a birthday. He's the same age he was 10 years ago.
No, you start going backwards. That's how it works.
You do. You start going backwards. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, Jennifer, always a joy to talk with you. Thanks for all you do. And
thank you so much.
We'll look forward to just a lot of great events in the month of September.
Thank you so much, Bob.
We'll talk to you soon. That's Jennifer Campbell, and really one of those people that we're just so lucky to have here in the Diocese of Sacramento. We'll take a quick break, back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Moises De Leon from the Office of Family and Respect Life. You're listening to Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunnan.
Thank you, Moises, and thanks for all you do for our great respect life and family life ministry here in the Diocese of Sacramento. Well, a lot happening. A lot has happened. Again, it's so good to hear about the great events that are planned here for the month of September in the Diocese of Sacramento. On October 2nd, come to the table, save the state, October 2nd, circle that, continuing the journey toward co-responsibility, accountability, and building strong councils. Now that the Parish Pastoral Council is up and running, what's next? Pastors, parochial administrators, PPC chairs, and one PPC member are invited to come to the table once again at one of these two events, Saturday, October the 2nd, at St. James Parish in Davis, and Saturday, October 16, at Our Lady of Mercy Parish in Reading. So, circle those two dates and be sure and do it, because that's going to be a great event. Now, Bishop Soto has released this in the last few days on religious exemptions for COVID-19 vaccines, and the USCCB and also the Diocese of Sacramento on the websites, you can find in-depth, really, explanation about the church's position on vaccination. Obviously, vaccination dealing with COVID, but this was directed from Bishop Soto, and you can read it on the website of the Diocese of Sacramento. This is addressed to priests and deacons of the Diocese of Sacramento regarding religious exemptions for COVID-19 vaccines. He writes, I instruct you not to sign any later affirming any. I instruct you not to sign any letter affirming or granting a religious exemption for those who choose not to receive the COVID-19 vaccine. Doctrinal and moral guidance by both the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith at the Holy See and the Doctrine Committee of the United States Catholic Conference have provided the clergy and faithful with clear teaching that Catholic men and women may receive the COVID-19 vaccine in good conscience. Anyone with personal medical concerns about the vaccine should consult with a healthcare professional. Both offices have reminded us of the moral obligations of charity. The individual disciple of the Lord Jesus should not only look to one's own personal benefit, but also to the common good of public health that will be served by receiving the vaccine. Anyone who chooses not to receive the vaccination for religious reasons does so on the basis of their own personal conscience. The pastor is not obligated to provide his personal or ecclesial endorsement for such a personal choice. Members of the faithful who choose not to be vaccinated are encouraged to properly inform their conscience. They should also keep in mind the moral obligations of charity to care for others in the community, especially the most vulnerable. Charity will require reasonable, concrete actions to protect others from possible infection, such as wearing masks and limiting social contact. I hope these instructions are clear and helpful. Join me in asking God's mercy to bring an end to the pandemic, grant healing to all the afflicted, perseverance to all who care for them, and comfort to all who mourn. May the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Mercy, grant to us the wisdom and charity of her son, Jesus. Respectfully, Jaime Soto, Bishop of Sacramento. And yeah, it's important to note that is on. If you want to read that again and you say, well, wait a minute, what exactly did that say? It's right there on the diocesan website. You just go to scd.org to read it, but it's very, very clear and concise. Gabe, summer's hey, almost over. You got three little ones. You go fishing or boating or
all of the above, really.
All of the above?
Yeah, all of the above. Anything to keep them active enough to fall asleep later in the evening. It's always a good thing.
I remember once we were up, my wife and I, when we had two children at the time. One was two, and the other one was just short of being one.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up a little seaside area in a town called Seaside, Oregon.
Ah, yes.
And little Molly, the one-year-old or almost one-year-old, could not fall asleep. Got to be 11, got to be 11:30, got to be midnight, just could not fall asleep. And we left our little cabin, and I mean, we don't own the cabin, but the place where we were staying.
Mm-hmm.
Put her in her baby seat and turned on some sweet music on the radio and said, we're going for a ride.
Yep.
Yep. About 20 minutes down the coast.
Yeah. You know, right.
20 minutes back up.
As you're fighting the same urge.
I'm fighting the same urge. And then the real trick is now that she's asleep comfortably in her car seat, how do you get her out of the car seat, back into the cabin, into bed without waking her up.
And then you go back through the whole. I got extremely lucky in that one. Yeah, I got lucky with that one. My kids, once they fall asleep in the car, I could lift them up. But I could drop them from shoulder height onto the bed, and they would stay asleep.
Yeah,
I'm lucky with that one. But yeah, I there was many times when it's funny. My kids, as they got older, my 8-year old, as he got a little bit older, when I would do the same thing for my daughter, he would, you know, it's like he would do the whole, you know, younger 7-year-old, 6-year-old thing. Like, what are we doing? Where are we going? Why are we doing this? It's like, dude, we're just trying to get your sister to fall asleep. You know, I think it's because we did it with him so much that he got paranoid that I was trying to make him go to sleep. I had to make up all these elaborate trips we were going on around our town.
Well, I can remember, you know, frequently as a kid, our vacations would be in Oregon or Washington or Idaho, and always would be coming home relatively late at night down the valley, you know, Redding, Red Bluff, Corning, Orland, Willows. Just I knew them by heart.
Right.
And because everybody in the car, including me, was dozing off, everybody except Dad, the car's going basically the same speed all the way down the valley.
Right.
And then you'd feel the car slow down. And you'd gotten into such a comfortable position that you did. The car slowing down meant you were getting close to home, which was fine to be close to home, but it meant you're going to have to get up, get out.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, don't slow down. Just keep going. Just keep going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's always real fun.
I remember faking being asleep so my dad would carry me in when I was a little guy.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. My son.
Is that a catechism somewhere?
I don't think it's a. I mean, I think it's one of those like adjacent sins where it's like, you know, you don't have malice intent. So, unless of course your dad has a bad back and you're a bigger kid, but other than that, I think
my dad loved to carry us.
I do too. Yeah. I do too.
I love to carry my kids in.
Well, a few times my 8-year old will still want to like snuggle with me. He's a voracious reader, my 8-year old, and he also is a night owl. He's got that from his dad on my side. He's got that night owl gene. So we'll make him go to bed and turn his light off. And then, you know, when my wife was, you know, when the baby, our new baby was new, I mean, still new, 7 months old, but when, you know, really new, I didn't want to disturb my wife because I have a weird schedule with my other job. I'm sometimes up very early. I snore a bit, you know, things like that. I just didn't want to wake her up, let her get the actual sleep she needed. So when it came time for her to go to bed and the baby to kind of go down, I would just go sleep in my son's room with my son. He has a giant bed. We had a ridiculous friend who just gave us a ridiculously giant bed. We just gave it to our son. So he has a huge bed. So I was sleeping there, and it was funny because he'd be reading. I'd go, okay, buddy, time to go to bed. I'd turn the lights off, and then I'd fall asleep. I wake up a couple minutes later because I hear the baby crying like an hour or so later, and he's still sitting there reading. Yeah. And it's like 11:30. I was like, what are you doing, buddy? He goes, I have a lantern. I was like, yeah, the light's not the problem. The problem is that you're going to go to bed, you know? And he just loves to read. So it's, you know, it's we've whittled down his bedtime to, you know, a manageable time, but it's just all reading, which is great. You know, he loves, you know, reading biblical stories and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, he reads a lot. He loves it.
Reading's good for you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, he's a... Yeah, definitely hard to get him to not read. Like, there's times when you're like, hey, man, we got to get dressed and go. And he's like, I just want to finish this one chapter. Like,
and, you know, when I talk to all my pro-life friends, I say, you know, and they talk about responsible fatherhood and all that, and we need to get men involved in being responsible.
Yeah.
The one thing I always say is, I want them to be more than responsible. I want men to understand the joys of fatherhood.
Yeah, it's fun.
It's the greatest.
It's the best.
It really is.
It really is.
I always wanted to grow up and get married and have kids. I mean, it was kind of, you know, climbing the ladder kind of thing. It was just kind of something you imagined. I had no concept of how great it was. None.
Yeah.
I just had no concept. Yeah.
I started late. I mean, I started in my late 30s with my son.
Yeah, you're an old dude.
I'm really old now. Yeah, I'm really old. I got the white beard hair and everything. And, you know, it's funny. I was one of those people who my whole life was like, I don't think I want kids. You know, I still have the desire. I don't have that want. I like, you know, doing stuff for me, whatever. And not realizing how selfish that was. And you know, now looking back on it. And I never wanted them. I mean, it was just something I wasn't into. And And then my wife and I had the talk about having a son, or well, having a child. We didn't really, we wouldn't pick. As soon as he came, it was like, oh, so that was my first life. That was just the other part of my life that I just did. Now this is what counts. It was almost like JV to varsity. You're like, okay, now you're really a, now you're really an adult, you know, adult, that whole yeah. thing, you know, and it's a great.
I remember falling asleep just thinking, it's scary that I'm the adult in the room.
Yes.
It was, you know. Like,
I've had that thought.
Like, we have a child here who is completely dependent on us. You
yeah.
know? And there's, I guess there are some books, but there's no manual because every kid's different.
No, yeah, there's no real manual. And, I mean, there's everyone's opinion, but no real manual.
Yeah, and it's a giant rite of passage. But I remember going from having no children. And then the oldest was born, the firstborn, a boy named Ted. And, oh, my gosh, holding him for the first time, I'm going, yesterday I did not know this person.
Right.
I had no idea. I mean, my wife had some concept because she's carrying him.
Right.
But I had no idea. I mean, I could have been off somewhere mm-hmm. on working or on the golf course
right, yeah.
for 9 months and completely absent.
Right.
Don't know this person at all. And now I'm holding him and I would give my life for him. How did that happen?
You bypassed
the brain.
It was funny as you meet new people all the time, but it's like they're not your person. Like you meet this thing comes to the world and you're like, oh, you're my person. Like yeah. I helped make you. And it's like yeah. this weird thing where, yeah, it's like you're brand new to me and the world. And yeah, I mean, it's so yeah. weird. You think about like you're among the very first 2 to 3 people your children ever meet.
Right.
And great. Obviously they don't know they're meeting you because there's not much of a memory going on there. But still, it's just,
well,
yeah, it's weird.
We were telling this story on her birthday. She just had her birthday, turned 20 a couple of weeks ago, July 21st, and a month ago.
Wow.
And when she was born with cesarean section, it was really an emergency.
Right.
It was very, very scary and difficult. But a nurse saw me out. I mean, they wouldn't let me into the emergency room until my wife had been all prepped for surgery.
You're not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor. And I'm sitting out there thinking, they forgot me, but that's okay. It's not about you. You know,
well, it is. You're not a doctor.
Yeah. yeah. And this nurse comes out and she says, she could just tell I was really worried. And because it'd been a normal all the way for a day and a half. And then all of a sudden it's breached. The baby's breached.
Right.
You know, it was a Saturday in a small hospital. Anybody with an MD behind your name, get to the emergency room now.
Yeah.
You know.
And as you know, if anyone's had a child, it's like the first one especially, it's a lot of hurry up and wait.
Oh, yeah.
And then it goes from hurry up and wait to hurry up emergency. That's got to be frightening.
It's first child, too.
You right. know? Yeah, of course.
And she's like, this nurse comes out and she says, trust the Lord. This is going to be okay. Trust the Lord. Not a Catholic hospital. She wasn't a chaplain. She
right.
wasn't anything. Never saw her again. Described her to other people afterwards and said, that nurse that came out was really helpful to me. And they said, who? And I said, well, she's the blah, 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 blah. Never heard of her.
Really?
Yeah, I think it was an angel came out,
yeah.
came out of nowhere. Said, it's okay, Bob.
Did you check the like any of the posters on the wall
yeah,
or the pictures that look depicting any kind of angels or anything to
yeah.
see if she looked familiar?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but and she was right.
Yeah,
and I was very calm and went in there and but afterward, you know they. You know, because it's a C-section, there's attending to the mom and taking care
yeah.
of the baby and everything.
It is a literal surgery.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, completely.
Yeah.
And they finally put the baby
mm-hmm.
on my wife's, like, shoulder
mm-hmm.
right near her head. And, of course, she's just undergone major surgery.
Right.
And we had already picked a name for the baby, Maeve, M-A-E-V, Maeve, Irish name. And Shelley, my wife, turns and the baby's just sitting there, eyes looking at whatever, the ceiling,
right.
You know.
The first light she's ever seen, yeah.
Yeah, and Shelley says, "Hello, little Maeve," and boom, her head, Maeve's head just turned like, that's a voice I know.
Yeah, yeah, it's that's amazing.
It was just amazing. Here she's... you know, a minute old,
right?
10 minutes old, and
yeah,
and she already, you know, and you know, we've interviewed Marie Leatherby many times here, the executive director of the Sacramento Life Center, and she sees people who come in who are undecided about they're pregnant,
right,
and undecided about having a baby,
right,
and really. Don't necessarily even see it. Maybe they don't even see it as a moral choice. Maybe they do. Maybe they don't. But they're weighing all these things and their options, obviously, adoption, abortion, you know, keeping the child, letting grandma raise the child, whatever. But there's all these options, and they're weighing everything, and the finances are figuring in it, and who else is involved? Is the father involved? And I said, have you ever had somebody who decided to keep the baby, to have the baby and keep the baby, come back a year later or 2 years later and say, ruined my life.
Right.
Ruined my life. Here.
Yeah.
Here's the baby. Put the baby on the car. I'm out of here.
No refunds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys did not tell me this baby was going to... Never happened.
No.
Never happened.
I remember when before I had kids, I used to always, you know, people used to always make that sort of like a joke about like, you know, oh, if you ever want, you know, give your, you know, teenager a baby and have them cry and all that stuff. Now that'll, you know, make sure everybody know, you know, all that. Yeah. And I always just tell people, baby crying, that's kind of, it's annoying or whatever. But then as a parent, you realize that as annoying or frustrating or whatever it may be, whatever how you want to describe it, a baby crying to the point of like, you're like, I don't know what to do. All that stuff, it doesn't, a year of that doesn't equal the inverse feeling you get when your baby or your child hugs you. It's like, I'll take all that for this.
Yeah.
I mean, just like your kid going to school and they're like, bye, dad, I love you. And they hug you. You're like, well, my whole life is full. I'm good. Yeah, I'm good. There's nothing in the world better to me. It's so funny. It's like, I just, you know, I mean, I know that like, you know, it's not like I'm the only dad who feels this way. We all feel this way. But it's just this weird thing where you just don't. I remember when I told my brother that we were going to have a baby and he was really happy for me. His kids are... one's 15 and one is 20. So, I mean, his kids are way ahead of mine. And he kept telling me, he goes, oh, you're going to be so happy. You're part of this group now. You're a dad. Like, you know, you see other dads walking their kids and you kind of nod at each other. You don't know each other. It's the thing. And I remember thinking like, okay, you know, maybe that's his experience. But it's true. It's like there's this thing where you realize like, yeah, we're all kind of in this together and trying to raise our kids in a way that is, you know, keeps everybody sort of, keep society going, you know, keep her, you know, to do the right things. And
yeah,
all those
I mean,
things.
You know, the people talk about, well, I want to go out and change the world. I want to do this. I want to join that. I want to be part of this cause. And that's all great. And I always say, if you want to change the world, it starts at home with your kids.
Oh, yeah.
With your kids. Because 100%. You're going to raise them. They're going to go out in that world and they can be trying to work for the common good. Or they can be working for themselves, you know.
Have you ever had your kids, I know we only have a couple minutes left here, but if you ever had your kids, like, say a lesson you've taught them out loud? Because, like, so I'll give you an example. Yeah. So my daughter is very much against littering. I've taught her, you know, to litter, and it's, you know, you protect the earth and all that kind of stuff. And somebody littered on the way into a grocery store a couple months ago, and they weren't even doing it on purpose, to tell you the truth. They, like, threw their coffee and it missed.
Yeah.
And she goes, Daddy, that person littered like super loud.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they kind of looked back and I was like, yep. And then she kind of turned around and grabbed the cup and put it, the lady did, and put it back in the garbage can. And my daughter kind of shamed her, I guess. But it was just so funny because it's like.
Litter shaming.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, it's funny because I'm like, okay, yeah, I taught her the right lesson. She knows it. But at the same time, you know, you got to work a little bit of a little public decorum now, too. So, you know, because the next thing you don't need is her yelling out something else that, you know, you've taught them not to do that somebody does.
I remember I was raised in a different decade than you were. And my dad was, it was something about littering just drove him crazy. I guess because it was just so selfish. You know, just like
it is very selfish.
So selfish. Like, why would would you do that? You know.
Yeah, I hate the excuse you hear sometimes people say when you miss. Oh, well, you know, people pick that up. It's like, so somebody else has to do that for you. Like, yeah, come on.
And it's not difficult to not do it.
Right. Exactly. You made the effort to begin with. Just follow through.
Yeah, it's so unsightly.
Yeah, it is. It's unsightly, and it makes people think that you don't. If you don't care that little about throwing away trash, like, what else do you not care about?
I didn't make the Ten Commandments, but it did sort of somewhere.
I think back then it wasn't a big problem.
Probably.
I think back then there were.
They didn't have 7-Eleven.
Weren't a lot of Taco Bell wrappers back then, but you know.
Yeah. Indeed. Well. Anyway. The joys of fatherhood. May many, many, many people experience them. It should be a Father's Day show, Gabe. I mean, but thank goodness for places like the Sacramento Life Center. They do such great work, Marie Leatherby and her staff there. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening. God bless everyone. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of America, Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. We'd like to thank all the wonderful people and organizations, businesses in town and throughout the Diocese of Sacramento who have provided underwriting for the Bishop's Hour, some in the last few years, some have been with us for a very long time. If you would like to be an underwriter for the Bishop's Radio Hour, it's a wonderful opportunity to support this mission and also to support the diocese and also to get some recognition for your organization or for your business. The easiest way to do this is to give us a shout, send us an email, radio@scd.org, and we can give you all the details about helping to underwrite the Bishop's Radio Hour. Again, that's radio@scd.org.
Well, here I am in a river of questions. Can I pour my heart out to a listening ear? Well, I see this life, it's valleys and mountains, and I think of all the roads that brought me here. Oh, that brought me here. Walking down the road. Well, I've questioned my reasons.
This life I'm living, I question my ability to judge wrong from right. Well, I questioned all the things I've ever called certain. My race, my religion, my country, my mind. But the one thing I don't question is you. You really love me like you say you do. You really love me like you say you do. So hold me, I need you. Hold me. Well, I've questioned significance, meaning and relevance. Does the work I'm doing really matter at all? Well, I question my friendships, alliance, dependence. Who will still be here